Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Spirit move over me, Spirit move over me, Spirit move over me. Spirit move over me. Even so, Holy Spirit, move upon our hearts, temper our hearts, move upon our minds, fertilize our minds, reign in Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 1. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Now, let me admit to you right now from the start that I do not have, maybe overnight and night, I've been laboring again for like the last 1 week on this one verse of scripture, and I have not yet found a resolution to my hermeneutical dilemma here. Those of you that were with us on Tuesday, you know a little bit of what hermeneutics is, isn't it? I told you it's the art and science of the interpretation of script or of text or literature in context of the scripture. The trouble that I have, that I haven't been able to resolve, is, so I returned, say scripture, and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. So there are two sides here. The Bible says, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed. So there is the oppressed, right? The oppressed have tears. He says, but, and they had no comforter. So you have the oppressed. The oppressed have tears, but the oppressed have no comforter. Is that okay? It goes on to say, and on the side of their oppressors. So the second side is what? The oppressors. The Bible says there was power. So there is the oppressed. The oppressed have tears. The oppressed don't have comforter. Now we are seeing the oppressor. And the Bible says that on the side of their oppressors, there was power. So the oppressor has at least access to power. The Bible says, but they had no comforter. The dilemma that I have not been able to resolve, it's a dilemma that I've gone back and forth with for about 4 years. I'm taking different positions in the last 4 years. That dilemma is the identity of the last day in that verse of scripture. Who is the day that have no comforter? Is it the oppressed or is it the oppressor? I know that. Well, who is the day in that context? The final day. Look at the verse. I'm admitting to you because this scripture is going to be very pivotal to what we do in the course of this weekend. And I'm trying to tell you an unresolved issue that I have with it before we get into it. Because I'm going to be, until I find a resolution, I'm going to pretend like that last bit is not there. And the reason is because, it's not because I'm glossing over it. So, who is the day? The oppressed or the oppressor? from your own reading, who do you think the day is? The oppressed. That's what I have taught more time than I have taught the oppressor. But I've also taught the oppressor. So I'm asking you again. However, who do you think is the day, the final day, at the end of the verse? Is that the oppressed or the oppressor? Well, what is clear is, we are looking at the comforter. This is why that question will be important to answer. Because we are not looking at necessarily the oppressed. We are not really looking at the oppressor. We are actually looking at the comforter. And the way you'll understand the comforter will be greatly impacted. Actually, will be greatly enriched one way or the other. If you think that the day at the end of the verse refers to the oppressor, because it would mean that both the oppressed and the oppressor do need comforter. And in this oppression context, both of them don't have. Are you there? It would mean that in the oppression equation, both the oppressed and the oppressor need the comforter. Yet, in an oppression context, neither the oppressor nor the oppressed has comforter. But the oppressed still has a disadvantage, a further disadvantage. The second disadvantage of the oppressed is that the oppressed has tears in addition to not having a comforter. And the oppressor has power on his side, even though he does not have comforter. And so you would realize, therefore, that it is actually the power that causes the tears. No comforter cancels out no comforter. But power induces tears. Say, I know me too, I don't have comforter. I know you too, you don't have comforter. But me, I have power. So we are not the same. I use my power on you, and then you now have tears. But there's power on my side, even though both of us are comforterless. So that would be the general implication. If you think that both the oppressor and the oppressed do not have the comforter, and this will impact the way you understand the person and the ministry of the comforter. You see why it's an important question to answer? Because what would be the ministry of the comforter in the life of the oppressed? And what will be the ministry of the comforter in the life of the oppressor? How would the oppressor need a comforter? What would be the relevance? You would have thought that the oppressor, we simply need a judge, not a comforter. Right? The oppressor should need. I know what is on your mind. You think that the oppressor should need an oppressor. Like, the person dealing with me, you know, people don't like to use the word oppressor. But you know how they used to say? They will just simply say, God pass you. They are simply saying that. They are simply saying that since you are oppressing me, I know somebody that can oppress you. His name is God. But they don't want to say that God is an oppressor. So what do they say? Say, God pass you. Say, you are doing that because you are my boss and I'm your subordinate. I don't have power to do anything, but God pass you. When Nigerians say God pass you, for those of our friends that don't understand Nigerian English, when Nigerians say God pass you, it actually means God pass you. I don't know. There's. God pass you. That is what is on the mind of people when they think of an oppressor. Nobody thinks of his oppressor and feel, I wish he will have a comforter. Has that ever crossed your mind before? Hello? All of you, the heartache that you have been feeling since the outcome of this election was announced, has it ever occurred to you that the people that have caused this heartache would need a comforter? No. So it will radically affect your conception of the person and the ministry of the comforter if we arrive at the position that even the oppressor needs a comforter and yet does not have. My bias is already showing. Because some of the times, the oppression that people manifest, the oppression is a coping mechanism for something else that they lack. And it might be the lack of the comforter. It's a vicious cycle if you take that interpretative framework. On the other hand, if you believe that the oppressed are the ones who do not have a comforter, but that the oppressor just have power on their side. They don't have comforter, they have power. Right? That equation will be very different. It will be that the equivalent of a comforter for the oppressor is power. While the oppressed is looking for the comforter, the oppressor wants power. And what you will do with power, hello, in context, is not exactly the same as what you will do if the comforter is on your side. Glory to God. Glory to God. So those of you that don't know how I used to do Bible study, this is how I used to do it. This is proper Bible study process going on. So I will make case for one, make case for the other. And I start asking the Bible and asking the Holy Spirit. Say this thing. Because everything I'm saying now, both cases can be made from Scripture. Are you there? Hallelujah. You people sometimes will say, how do you used to study the Bible? Now I'm showing you how you used to study the Bible and you're looking at me very blank. If I just simply came and told you the one that I'm more inclined to now, you will not, you know, it will be a very smooth, beautiful sermon. But you wouldn't know the agitations that are going on, the palpitations that are going on in my heart. Because it's a very sensitive matter. I do not want to feed you something that at least I do not have a tentative confidence upon at this moment. And can I tell you the truth? At this moment, I am more inclined to saying that they had no comforter at the end. He's still talking about the oppressed, not the oppressor. I don't want it to be that the oppressor also needs the comforter. Let them leave the comforter for us. Hello? Yes. So that what will happen is that when we will get comforter and then they have power, it will be power versus our comforter. But if they have comforter, we have comforter, they have power. We may still have tears. Listen to me. Hello? Let's read again. So, I just brought you a little bit into my study space to see the way that I wrestle with Scripture sometimes. All right? It's this thing they will teach you. In homiletics, you can never say the kind of things I just said this evening. This is not how to preach. But I'm not preaching. It's family talk. I'm talking to my family members. I need you to know the inner workings of these things. I and I'm trusting the Lord. I've been wrestling with this. My wife can't testify. I can't remember. Was it the other morning? I just kept saying, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? I will do NIV, do ESV, do... Who is this? Who is this? Who is this? I will rake my head like, what? I'm sure I was doing who is this for more than 2 hours on my bed. Who is this? I'm just looking at the... I'm trying to find out the identity of this they. But they had no comforter. And this they, I'm looking at the word T-H-E-Y. And I'm saying, who are you? Who is this? I kept saying this, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? I took hard copy. I used the one in my iPad. I used the one on my phone. Every translation that I had. Who is this? That was my last session. As in, compact session. The other one is roving session. I was driving from Makurdi today. I was still asking, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? Who is this? The thing didn't even allow me to meditate on all the other scripture I was supposed to teach because I was hoping I will have a breakthrough before I come to stand here. I still didn't. That's why I brought it to the table. Because this is the anchor scripture for this weekend. That I returned and considered all the oppression. So I want you to follow me now and look at the... At least we have an incomplete dynamics of oppression. I want to show you the dynamics of oppression. It's incomplete, but this is the anatomy of oppression. Why? Because the writer, the preacher says, I returned and considered all the oppression, not most, not some, all the oppressions that are done under the sun. The oppressions that are done under the sun. Hello? And because we are under the sun, so it pertains to us. Let's forget about what happens overhead. All right? The ones that are done under the sun, all of them. He said, behold the tears of such as were oppressed. So in the anatomy of oppression, you have the oppressed, they have tears. And he says, and they had no comforter. So, the oppressed have tears. They have no comforter. And on the side of their oppressor. So they have oppressors. So oppression happens when there is an oppressor and there is an oppressed. So the oppressor oppresses the oppressed. Yet, the oppressor is able to oppress the oppressed because on his side there is what? Power. 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 But they had no comforter. That's the last verse that is indeterminate at the moment, the last part, right? So in our anatomy, we've seen tears belonging to the oppressed, comforter not available for the oppressed. And we have seen power on the side of the oppressor. At least these three things or four things we've teased out. Tears, oppressed, lack of comforter, oppressor, power. Is that okay? Is that okay? Actually, those are five items. One of them is something that is not present. That's the comforter, not present. But the reason the comforter is mentioned is because the comforter would have been necessary, except that it is not present. So, how do we understand the things we've identified? Tears are easy to understand. Tears are tears. Right? Those tears... Tears represent... In context, because these are not tears of joy. These are the tears of the oppressed. It is the pain, the sorrow, the heartache. And the oppressed is the one that is subdued, is the disempowered. The oppressed is the subjugated.
The oppressed is the one that is overwhelmed. And he's not overwhelmed positively, he's overwhelmed with an intention to disadvantage. That's what the oppressed is. In Nigeria currently, you see, there are all kinds of oppressions that are going on. And because we are in this election season, I cannot talk to you without applying it to the current situation of our country. After the election, and people came up and said, you know what, let's do reconciliation. I hear now that Tinubu is trying to set up a committee to do reconciliation. Right? That, I need you to know that that is probably greater insult than whatever insult we are currently dealing with as a nation. Why? Because those are the tools of oppressors. Those are the tools that oppressors use. This is how to victimize the victim so that you can turn around again and now say, you said people should come for reconciliation, and they refuse and want to paint the people you are subjugating. You still want to paint them further black than you already painted them as losers that they are not. You see, it would not be oppression if somebody you don't like wins an election. It will pain you, but it's not oppression. Nobody's oppressing you. That's how democracy works, right? The reason why the current situation is so painful for many Nigerians is not because somebody lost. It's not because somebody won. It's because most Nigerians don't believe that the person who has been set to win is not the one who won. That is really where the pain is, and that is what is oppressive. When you have such a situation and you are trying to bring peace on top of it, that peace is a peace that is unknown to the God of peace. You cannot build a peaceful edifice on top of an injustice. That is to deepen the oppression. It's like back in the day, when there's a skirmish, when there's a crisis in town, and then people stand up and say, hey, then suddenly our government will arise and say, let there be no reprisal attacks. So you hear more of reprisal attacks than you hear of attack. It's a strategy of oppressors. It's how they deepen the pain of oppression. So on the side of the oppressed, there is power. And I'm telling you that power comes in different form. Except that it does not come in the form of Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. Acts 1:8 says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is not that kind of power. And I'll explain it to you. I'm sure you know in scripture that a power is not always positive. Hello? Your post-election troubled minds are still not. There's still a lot of hangover. But don't worry. Your God reigns, and he will come and save you. Power is not always positive. We wrestle not against principalities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. Do you think that that's talking about Acts chapter 1, 8 power? Hello? So we actually are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We are wrestling against powers. Jesus said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpion and over all the what? Power of the enemy. What Jesus says he gives is power. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy.
Giving you two scriptures already. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 19. The word power occurs twice. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So, when we say that on the side of the oppressor, there was power, I'm trying to say that that power has different outlooks. Officially, at the bottom, it is spiritual in nature. It's spiritual in nature. Some of the things that happen around us, the people that are oppressing Nigeria, is not muzzle. It's not muzzle power they are using. No. It's not even intellectual prowess. No. Several of them, many of them are not intellectually agile. They are not bright. And all you need to do to find out how bright they are is to attend the town hall. And things were so bad this last time that many of the people that wanted to rule, to govern us, ran away from a presidential debate. Are you with me? They ran. They would not come to talk to Nigerians and be interrogated by Nigerians. They avoided, they vehemently refused. So it's not the intellectual power that they're using. That's not the power, primarily. This power is needing to be itemized, because when you look at the scenario, it's obvious that the thing the oppressed lacks is not obvious to the eye. And the thing that the oppressor has is not obvious to the eye. That's why the man is explaining. What do you behold? You behold tears. Behold the tears of such as were oppressed. You can see the tears. And they had no comforter. That is a commentary to it. You can't see, but I'm telling you, they have tears. You can behold their tears. But I want to add to you that in the midst of that tears, they don't have comforter. I need you to know that if you have comforter, you can still have tears. I hope you know. Hey. You know, where the Bible calls God the God of comfort, the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of how many comfort? All comforts. The God of all comforts. Who comforts us? Where? He comforts us where? In. The word is in. He comforts us where? In. He comforts us where? In. In. Because I said to you that you can have the comforter and still have tears. But in the anatomy of oppression, the preacher said the tears of those that are oppressed can be beheld. But in case you are not aware, they don't have a comforter.
Okay, somebody is confused, like, how can you have comforter and you still have tears? You can have comforter and still have tears. Sometimes the comforter comes to make the situation bearable. Hello? It does not come to take it away. It comes to make it what? Bearable. So people look at you and wonder how it is that you survive. It is because you are enjoying the ministry of the comforter. So he comes to comfort us in all. The God of comfort, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all. In how many? All our what? He comforts us in all our tribulation. All our tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Did you see the paradox there? Hello? Did you see the paradox? He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. So there are two things abounding. As one is abounding, so the other one is abounding. The sufferings of Christ abound. As it is abounding, that's also how consolation is also abounding. So the God of comfort comforts us in, not necessarily out. Of course, if you are out of tribulation, you will not need comfort. Isn't it? So, the comfort ministry will actually end in that regard when you are out of the tribulation. So, the comfort is while you are in, while you are in. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That means while I am going through the valley of the shadow of death, you are inside with me. You are not saying, see you on the other side. That's not how it works. You walk the valley of the shadow of death with me. And it is your presence that is the reason why I fear no evil. So the God of all comfort comforts us in. In all our tribulation, so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. There is something that is probably not for tonight. Wow, yeah, definitely not for tonight. So why I came here is because I was trying to say to you that when you look at the anatomy of oppression, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1, there is oppression that happens to the oppressed. And the reason why the oppressed is oppressed by the oppressor is because on the side of the oppressor, there is something called power. And I said that power is not the power of the Holy Ghost. That power primarily is spiritual in nature. It is a spiritual power. And it is a spiritual dynamic that animates, that empowers, that, if you like, that amplifies. It was like in Acts of the Apostles chapter 12, Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he took James, right? He killed James and he saw that it pleased the what? The Jews. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he also took Peter and kept him in hold, hoping that after Easter, he will bring him out and have him killed also. Now, when Peter was finally released from jail, the Bible says, Peter finally came to himself and said, I need to see that passage. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand. That is it, verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Two things he said he's been delivered from. Number one, the hand of Herod. Number two, the expectation of the people of the Jews. You see, when we say that on the side of the oppressor, there is power. There is power. It's just that sometimes you don't see it. There's power. The power that the oppressor has usually is spiritually mediated to them, so that they are able to bring effect in the lives of those they oppress that are beyond the capacity of a normal human being to bring, and therefore that are beyond the capacity of a normal human being to repel. Because you can do man to man, but in this case, this is not man to man. This is man plus to man. And the plus here is power. This is man plus power against man. It is the power on the side of the man that makes it man plus. That plus, you cannot overcome it by weight, by height, by muscle, by tricep, by six pack, because you cannot, by the arm of flesh, dislodge something that is spiritual in nature. Are you with me? You cannot. The human arm, the human power, will never on its own be able to break the hold of a spiritual entity, no matter how feeble the spiritual entity is. This is how addiction happens. When a spirit is involved, when there's power that is on the side of the oppressor, you may be looking at the oppressor, but wisdom comes to your aid and tells you, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare, their might is that we pass them through God. They are mighty through God. Mighty through God. We wrestle, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. What is flesh and blood? He's talking about mortal people, human beings. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What is flesh and blood? He's talking about a mortal man. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle, but not against flesh and blood, but against princes. Principalities and powers. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness that are in heavenly places. And so he says to put on the whole armor of God. And in the armor that we are told to put on, prayer is just one in a litany of armor. I don't even want to go there tonight. But I'm trying to explain to you, therefore, that when, you know, I come from the village. In the village, if somebody say, this thing that you are doing, okay. Say, we'll see. And it just does. We'll see. People go home and they can't sleep at night. Sometimes they will call family meeting. Sometimes they will go and report to the chief of the village. Say, if anything happens to me, this is the person that is responsible, because he told me that I will see. Excuse me, if they say you will see, should you not be happy? Would you rather be blind? Would you have been happy if the person, this thing you have done, you'll be blind? The person say, you will see. But you know that day you will see. The you will see does not mean you will see. It means you will see. Why do people get agitated when somebody says to them in the village, you will see? It's because, it's not because the man is massive. They are not thinking that this man will ambush them on their way to farm and beat them blue black. No! No! It's because they suspect that this man, there is a side. There is a side. If I have time tomorrow, I will... You will realize that there are things that can stand by the sides of people. You just don't see them. On the side, on their side, there was power. On their side. Their side. You something needs to be on your own side too. That's how this equation balances. And when we now properly start to look at the paraclete, the comforter himself, you would realize that the popular notion when you hear the word comforter is not, it's just one small bit of the actual ministry of the comforter. The English word, the comforter, is just an approximation. I told you the other day that what I wanted us to use for the topic is the paraclete. But I wanted to bring a little bit of clarity to what we are doing. The paraclete, which is interpreted as a comforter in the New Testament, depends on the context. There were places where you saw paraclete that you didn't know it was paraclete that was in the Greek. You know why? Because in some places it is called the advocate. You know, when John said that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the word is paraclete. It's the same word interpreted as comforter. That we have a paraclete with the Father. And it's who? Christ the righteous. Is that? Yes. The comforter is the advocate. He's actually an attorney. The comforter is actually an intercessor. He's one that speaks on behalf of another. The comforter is actually a defender. He's an intersector. Is that the word? It's an interception. It's an interceptor. Pick whichever works for you. He intersects. He intersects between you and something else. Are you with me? He is an intercessor in popular Christian language. That's the paraclete. So, this comforter that you are seeing here is not just coming to blow air on your back and say, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. He shall be well. No. That is the least of his ministries. He's an advocate. He makes a case on your behalf. He speaks in the court of heaven. For you. We'll get into that tomorrow. But the one that is called power, this one that is called power, the idea is when the comforter is on the side of the oppressor, right? The comforter helps on the side of the oppressed, I mean to say. The comforter helps the oppressed while they are being oppressed to come out of the oppression. Now, it's a twofold ministry. This is where I hope I can stop tonight. I did a shortcut to get here because I just saw my time. I said he has a twofold ministry. What are they? Number one ministry is to help you, to bring you succor in the course of the tribulation, the oppression that you are going through. And number two is to walk you to a point where you can walk out of that thing. Are you there? Are you there? So it's like you have, let's say, it's like you have, maybe you have a bad tooth and it's aching very, very badly. Aching very badly. Toothaches are terrible things. And if you don't believe me, well, let me not pray for you. But, all right? So, experience. Toothaches, just take it from me that they are very terrible things. A few of you know it.
like Jesus said, that to pray that your flight doesn't happen in winter. Don't have toothpick during Harmattan. When the weather is cold, I had toothache while I was at Oxford. I came home December. I went to the hospital, the dental clinic. They did x-ray, which is another story. Anyway, they did x-ray and all of that and say, oh, this treatment, it will take like 2 weeks. And I didn't have up to 1 week left to return to the UK. So I said, I'm not here for 2 weeks. I'm not even here. My next visit was supposed to be a week afterwards. I would have been gone before then. Can't I come tomorrow? They said no. Day after tomorrow, no. Okay, what do I do? I'm leaving. So they wrote a little bit of a referral and gave me the x-ray that they did. So I managed, went to Abuja. It wasn't so bad. I left. As soon as I touched down, January breeze at Heathrow. When he blew around, Jesus of Nazareth, the pain went like, he went from like 3. He went to like 33 instantly. I ran to the dental clinic as soon as I arrived Oxford the next day. Appointment or no appointment? I went with my documents from Nigeria and my x-ray. I felt so terrible that day. When the dentist looked at the x-ray, British politeness. He said, I think we might just have to do this again. The guy couldn't make sense out of that film. That you know, that one we are still using, but that black thing. He looked at it. He said, I think we might just have to do this again. I got the message. I'm like, who even sent me? She would have just... In order to treat the tooth, they had to help to manage the pain. That's where I'm going, right? The management of the pain is different from the treatment itself. Eventually, they had to do a root canal for me, which didn't happen that day. But they gave me a number of things to make to douse the pain. I'm saying that when the comforter comes into your life, the pain will still be there. But the comforter will help to douse it, to make it bearable while prepping you up for your root canal that will finally solve the problem. Except that many times, the way that the comforter does is that the comforter gives you what Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So the power that is instigating and causing your pain, when the comforter comes, the comforter does not just come to blow air and fan you and say, hey, you know, it's not that bad. No. The comforter actually comes to prepare you for war. The advocate, the comforter, he will make a case for you. He will make a case for you. Oh my God, my time is up. It would be right if I close without reading the New Testament. So let's read John chapter 14.
Oh, thou, Lord. You are a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of my head. For thou, Lord, for thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of my my glory and the lifter up.
All right, so that you can get context, John chapter 14, verse 16.
And then we close. I'll be done in 3 minutes.
John 14, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and I will pray the Father.
So you know a few things have been said before that.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? He shall give you what? So when you hear of another comforter, it means that this comforter is not the first comforter you are going to be having. This is another. So who is the other? He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Wow. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not. You remember I told you so? Neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to know that the comforter is not just somebody that comes to speak sweet words to you. No, this comforter is another comforter. So one of the ways you are going to understand the ministry of the comforter is to find out what is the ministry of the comforter before this other comforter. Who is that comforter? It's Jesus himself. He's basically saying, as I'm living now, a vacuum is going to be created. When I leave, there's a space that I used to fill that will now be vacant seemingly, but it's not going to be vacant for long. I will send you another comforter. Why? He didn't say, I will send you a comforter. I will send you the comforter. He says, I will send you another comforter. I already told you that according to 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says that we should not sin, but that if we sin, we have a comforter with the Father. The word in your Bible would be advocate, but it's the same word in the Greek. And the comforter we have with the Father is whom? My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, we have a paraclete with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So what it means now is we have a comforter in heaven. It's with the Father. There's a comforter on the earth. It's with us. The comforter in heaven was the one speaking on the earth in John chapter 14. And he says, when I leave, I will send you what? Another comforter. I brought you here because I was saying to you that the comforter makes your situation bearable, but the comforter also prepares you to come out and above the situation. You remember that I say he has a twofold ministry. This is part of the reason while when Jesus was with the disciples, remember, every time that they wanted to harass the disciples, who spoke for them? Jesus. It was Jesus. Say, look at the way these guys are, they don't wash their hands. Then Jesus will say, come. Has it ever been said that you see the children of the bride chamber mourning while the groom is with them? But the day is going to come when he shall be taken away from them. In that day, he rose to their defense. He was their advocate. He was their paraclete. The ministry of the comforter, you will need to learn this weekend. The comforter is not just paddy paddy. The comforter is not babawe de pampa. No. Can he pamper you? Depending on what you mean. But I'm saying that is not the focal point of his ministry. His ministry is the ministry of an intercessor. Is the ministry of an advocate. Is the ministry of an attorney. Like what a litigation lawyer does in court on behalf of his client. That's the ministry of the comforter. So as we get into this season, the ministry of the comforter is not just a ministry that the comforter brings to you alone. It's a ministry that the comforter has on your behalf. You are not here. So when I say we will be needing comfort after the election, when I said so, I meant we will be needing comfort in both senses. We are going to be needing that ability of the Spirit of God to make the unbearable bearable. But we are going to be needing that ministry of the Holy Spirit by which he advocates. You are going to be seeing that as we get into Romans chapter 8 by tomorrow. You know the one that makes his intercession for us. And he does it according to the will of God. Huh? Hello? Don't worry. There will be an unleashing of the possibilities of the advocate. Destinies are going to receive pleas in the court of heaven in the course of this weekend. Families are going to be remembered because the advocate will advocate. You are not just going to be bearing the unbearable. No, things will change. The comforter is not a sympathizer. No, that's not the ministry of the comforter. He does not come to sympathize. He does not come to empathize. He comes to bring real changes. And he does that by advocate. He does that by petitioning. He does that by intercession. That is the comforter's ministry for real. So that a point comes even when you are not going through an oppressive season. You're not going through an oppressive season. There are lots and heritage that belong to you that you may not even be aware of. But there is somebody that stands before the Father. He's your paraclete. And he's checking the books on your behalf. And he that knows the mind of the Spirit, he will help you to make intercession according to the will of God. You will be asking for things that belong to you that you didn't know belong to you. Because the advocate is advocating on your behalf. There will be things, resources, there will be things, victuals that you need for the journey of destiny that you are not even aware of. People will land upon treasures that they did not seek this weekend because the comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Spirit of God that is promised, the Comforter has come. And I want to say to Nigeria that the courts are opened in the heavens, and our advocate, he speaks. He will marshal arguments upon arguments upon arguments, and he will, by the will of God, pray and make intercession in keeping with the purposes of God for Nigeria. I'd like for you to know that even though there is a court that is called supreme in Nigeria, there is a court of the final jurisdiction. We have a representative there. Melioso Cavilati. Maria Kute Nakabio Kopa. Aine Kapela Pana. We drag Inec before the court of heaven. Meleko atambi okopa. Bareko tasalia katua. Bie kapalio sageme. Sagiate. Meleni niko me kopa tati atame. Jesus said, I kept them by your word. But he said, I will send you another comforter. I send you another keeper. I sent you another defender. I sent you another attorney. I sent you another advocate. Lekiatwa, can we welcome the comforter? Let him touch down upon the soil of Nigeria. Bilini katia kete kapale. Amen. Amen. Malini nini manena kobaya tu akaba. There is a sword drawn over Nigeria. The advocate. Mali akatuse seliata. In the days of Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, the comforter had not come. We want to remind Inec, the equation has changed. The comforter has come. Another comforter, it has come. Let me attend you. Barenekatu asasi. Bariakute na kwatade. Barikatu asasi alama. Akemene katu akadi atade lemekoba. The comforter has come. The comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. Malika tuasase. Touch your feet unto the perpetual desolation. Consider everything that the enemy has done wickedly in our land. Aliakata. Parakwatina. Bekwakutela. 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 Baya kutena. Beleni sasi. Barakwatata. Bakwakatuna se. Beriakatwa lakasuzi. Bereketa lwakatwa. Bekwakatu tetete. Bakwakatata tutetata. Bekwakatu tetete tatata. Leme souza. The comforter has come. I am a suselatwa. Arakutela kwata barakwatata. Aratatatata bala parakatate. Befeta lakatuna sase la brakatwa. Bafara kwatata liakatata na bakata. Arena suse yakatwa.
Alabia, Sosela, Quatu,
Eriko papatia sasele. We are lost without you. One more time, all over this place, one more time, let's cry out to him. And I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. Oh, comforter. Oh, comforter. Pass through Nigeria. Pass through every family. Pass through every marriage. Pass through every destiny. Come, Jesus. Come in your Holy Spirit. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Come to our rescue. Come to our rescue. Come to our rescue. We need you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Beviatini kabwa la kafane. Profene sesi. Balikotaniko vereketala. Bebebe dadabo. Berege dunia kate. Bafini kaso sesani kofaniko velenehana. Bruna kwatineske lambro vedge gudia kate. Mulini si saili mofona kove la kadi. Barakutenaske brofakatos kibra akamo. Obene kobri kikia katua te kambo. Melene si isa gavude gelimo govudu gala mohuda. Abikini kate loko so seseli. Thank you, Jesus. We're desperate for you. We're desperate for you. Oh, we're desperate for you. We need you, Lord. We're desperate for you. Oh, comforter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We will have more time tomorrow to press in prayers for individual lives, for families, for businesses, for marriages, for territories. The comforter will touch his feet by the mercies of God.
Last night of prayer before we went into the election was on Friday. I saw in a vision as we prayed, those of you that were in that prayer meeting online, you'd remember. I saw a large foot, actually a foot, stepping into our nation. It was close, but it didn't hit the ground. I'm sure some of you remember. Didn't hit the ground. That was part of what gave rise to the chain prayers. Because the more we prayed, the more it stayed the same. And the scripture that came to mind was Psalm 74. When it asks that the Lord will step his feet into the perpetual desolation. And I knew that something was coming, but that hasn't fully, finally, completely landed. We trust the Lord this weekend. He will touch feet into the ground of your life, of your family, of your circumstance, of your business, of your ministry, of your marriage. Jesus promised, I will send another comforter. Lord, we ask that the ministry of the comforter will be amplified over Nigeria in this season and over each of our lives and all that concern us. Guide us into the protocols of engagement. Let benefits accrue to our nation and to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.